Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the address today is the Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 15. You'll find that on page 9 of the Pew Bibles. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your words of promise to us again this day, strengthen our faith. May our faith rest in those promises. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Today we consider the Old Testament figure of Abraham, or Abram, as he was still known at this stage. Abraham is, of course, one of the most famous figures in the Bible, and he's someone that the New Testament gives to us as the man of faith. In fact, as an example of faith for the people of God. So this morning we want to dig a bit deeper into this faith of Abraham and see what we learn from this text. As we do so, we'll look at three things. First, how Abraham's faith has room for questions, doubts, and fears. Second, we'll see how Abraham's faith is strengthened by and rests on the promises of God. Third, we'll see how Abraham's faith receives God's covenant of grace. So first, let's see how Abraham's faith has room for questions, doubts, and fears. The text begins by God coming and speaking to Abram before he ever says a word. Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward. It's interesting because just before this, Abram has won a great military battle and he's rescued Lot. And so we might think that he's going quite well. Why would he be afraid? Some have thought that maybe he was afraid of military payback now that he had upset the local powers that be, but I think maybe something else is going on here. Because judging by how Abram responds, it seems to me God is speaking to Abraham and giving him something of an invitation. We hear a lot about what's happening for Abram externally, but it's almost as if God knows the struggles of Abram here internally. His struggles to trust in the promises. And so God's inviting him into this conversation. Now let's just refresh our memories as to what those struggles might be in Abram's life so far. God had promised him that he would become a great nation, but years and years had gone by, probably 10 years by now. And still he had no child. The biological clock was well and truly ticking. Or really, the clock wasn't ticking at all anymore, was it? And so Abram comes to God and he says, "Oh Lord God, what will you give me? I continue childless. A slave in my house, Eliezer, is going to be my heir. There's this great promise. But where is the fulfillment of the promise? And then there's the land. God had promised Abram he would possess this land, and yet years had gone by and he still didn't have a square meter to call his own. Not to mention the fact there were plenty of people living in the land who didn't seem to be moving out anytime soon. So Abram says, how am I to know? How am I to know, God? Yes, Abram is the man of faith. But here he shows us that true faith is not without questions, is not without doubts, is not without fears. This is so important for us to remember because we forget it again and again. We see the faith of Abraham, we marvel at it, and maybe we wish that our faith were as strong as this. We look at other Christians and we think, I wish I had faith like him or her. But Abram shows us these doubts and fears and questions are actually part of the life of faith. What makes it faith is that faith brings these things to God. Faith is willing to say to God, "I trust you, Lord, but I don't understand how this is all going to work out. I trust you, Lord, but I can't see your good purposes and plans in my life right now." I think this is especially important for us to think about as we pass on the faith to our young people. Because sooner or later in our Christian journey, we face big doubts, fears, and questions, don't we? And if we've never been ushered into that part of faith before, it can be a huge crisis when it comes. And so talking with our children and our young people about these sorts of experiences in the life of faith can be a bit like a vaccine. You know, you take a little bit of the virus now to be protected from the big hit later on. And if we don't know where to start, perhaps we think of the Psalms of lament, the Psalms of complaint. It's almost like Abram here gives us the first little psalm of lament. We read those psalms and we hear these people of God crying out to him. And sometimes we might wonder, how does this really fit with true faith? Would a person who really trusts complain like this to God? But of course, this is actually a deep expression of faith. Because to lament to God is to acknowledge that ultimately he is the only one who can truly help. In the New Testament, this is best summarized by the words of that desperate father with a very sick daughter who comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." That's the faith of Abraham. That's our faith too. So faith that has room for questions, doubts, and fears. The next thing we see is that Abram's faith is one which is strengthened by and rests on the promises of God. So in the midst of all this, in the midst of questions, doubts, and fears, what's the antidote? Does Abram need to look deep down inside himself and muster up more faith? Does he need to pull himself out of the depths by sheer willpower? On the contrary, what we see is that faith is strengthened only from the outside in. The word of the Lord came to him. God speaks, and God speaks a word of promise to Abram. "This man, this servant in your house, shall not be your heir. No one but your very own child shall be your heir." Now, at first we might think this is just reassurance of the promises that had come earlier, but actually there's something new here. Because at the start, the promise had been that Abram would become a great nation, but there was no detail about how God was going to do that. The assumption was it would be from his own child, but as years go by, Abram begins to wonder about this. "Maybe I misinterpreted. Maybe it will come through this adopted child in my household." And later on, Abram and Sarah continue to struggle with this. And so they try to give God a bit of a help along by using a surrogate mother called Hagar. But here's where God's word of promise comes to him very clearly and specifically, "Your very own son." And as if that wasn't enough, as we talked about with the kids, God even ups the ante on the promise. "Look at the stars, Abram. I know you're concerned about not having one child, but look at the stars and try to count them. So shall your descendants be." And I like to think about Abram living in his tent, wandering around the desert, going out every single night and looking at those stars, remembering the promise of God. Because it's this word of promise that lifts Abram out of the doldrums he's in. It stirs up and creates the faith he needs. And that faith, that active trust rests in that promise. So that we read, Abram believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. In other words, Abram was right with God, not because of anything he did, but because he trusted in the promise of God. So it was for Abram, so it is for us. In the midst of questions, in the midst of doubts, in the midst of fears, the antidote is not in us. Instead, it's that word of promise from God, which comes from the outside, strengthens our faith, so that our faith can rest in that promise. And here's something worth thinking about very practically in this regard. The Hebrew word for believing is very closely related to the word for amen. So very practically in the Old Testament, what is it to believe? What is it to have faith? It is to hear the word of the Lord and say amen. To say yes, may it be so. I'll stake my life on that promise. Abram believed God is to say he amened God. So for us, one of the ways we exercise our faith is by coming to church and hearing the promises of God again and again, or reading them for ourselves, or hearing them from a pastor or a Christian friend and saying, amen. The Lord forgives you all your sins. Amen. This is the body and blood of Christ for you. Amen. Yes, I believe it. Even in the midst of doubts, even in the midst of fears and questions, amen. I don't have what it takes in myself, Lord. So I'm putting my trust in your word promise. Now for Abram, his faith was in the specific promise of a future son to come. But St. Paul talks about this in Galatians and says that this future son of Abraham is ultimately Christ himself, that he's the seed of Abraham. And listen to how St. Paul then picks it up in Romans 4. He says, the words it was counted to him as righteousness, to Abram that is, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Abram put his faith in the promise of the Saviour to come. We put our faith in the Saviour who has come. Jesus, who died for your sins, who was raised from the dead to put you right with God. Our faith rests in him and in his work, in the promise of what he's done. So we look first at Abram's faith having room for questions, doubts, and fears. Then at Abram's faith being strengthened by and resting in the promises of God. Then finally, we look at how Abram's faith receives God's covenant of grace. And this is where we get to look at that part of the reading that most of us hear and say, what on earth is going on there? With all these animals being cut in two and lined up and so on. I thought this could be good material for the children's talk, but some of the others around here thought otherwise. So what's going on here in this strange little ceremony? The first thing to notice is that right at the end, we're told what's going on here in the big picture. So it says at the end, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. So this ceremony is the making of a covenant. We know that. It says it quite clearly. The question is, in what way does this strange little ceremony enact a covenant? What's the significance? Why couldn't they have just shaken hands or signed on the dotted line like we might? And we just think about first what a covenant is. A covenant's like a contract or a treaty, a legally binding agreement where promises are made between two parties. And so what we have going on here is actually not an uncommon way of these covenants being made in the ancient world, but God is putting his own spin on it. The common practice goes something like this. Two parties want to make a covenant, so they go to a sacred place and make sacrifices to God or to the gods in the case of pagan religions. The animals are sacrificed, they're cut in two, and then what happens is either the lesser party walks through or both parties walk through. And as they do that, what they are saying is, if I break the terms of this covenant, may what has happened to these animals happen to me. So to make a covenant like this is literally to put one's life on the line. But there's something amazing here, because who walks through the pieces of the animals? Not just Abram, the lesser party. Not just God and Abraham. God alone walks through. God alone. This smoking fire pot and this flaming torch, doesn't that bring to mind the smoke and the fire around Mount Sinai? The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire leading God's people. This is the presence of God. This is God walking through the pieces. This is your God making his covenant promise, saying that he so totally commits himself that he stakes his very life on it. And just in case we don't get the point that this is a covenant of grace from God to Abram, and that it's not about his contribution, what's Abram doing during all this? I love this. This is great. He's asleep. He's fast asleep. Completely passive, receiving God's covenant of grace. This is your God, who comes to you because you can't or won't first come to him. This is your gracious God who comes to make things right between he and you. And although he didn't break the covenant, we his people did. And since God walked through alone, he needed to take the punishment on himself. And so as God made this covenant after a deep and terrifying darkness descended on Abraham, so the Son of God took the punishment for the breaking of the covenant as that deep darkness descended while he hung on the cross. It's through Jesus that God's grace is revealed and fully given to you who believe. Do you remember what he said on the night before he died? This cup is the new covenant in my blood. That's why for us, in the midst of our doubts, in the midst of our fears, in the midst of our questions, we too have a tangible sign of grace to look to on this altar. Not animals having been cut in two, but the body and blood of Christ, who was sacrificed once and for all. Abram is the man of faith. But we've seen this morning it's a faith which has room for questions and fears. It's a faith strengthened by and resting in the promises of God. And it's a faith which receives God's covenant of grace. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.